Welcome to the NLX Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're diving into the wide receiver position here after week 14. And we'll just start right up at the top, right? Again, Arizona is playing on Monday Night Football. I'm recording this Monday afternoon, so I don't have the benefit of that information. Atlanta, we're waiting on their bye and what they look like after the bye. Desmond Ridder, of course, going to be the starter there, so that'll be interesting to watch. And what his development looks like over the next month and how that, frankly, shapes the arc of their franchise going forward. I think it's a really interesting question. And how that influences both Drake London and Kyle Pitts is, has major fantasy implications, right? So that'll be a really interesting watch and something I'm excited to see. All right, Baltimore. This is just a really tough passing game, right? They drop back. They play 61 snaps. They drop back to throw it 23 times. DeMarcus Robinson's become basically their de facto one. Six of their 15 targets through this game. It's 5 for 52, right? He's basically kind of overshadowed Devin Duvernay in several recent weeks. I think that's kind of how I would treat this. Hey, if you're going to play a desperation flex or a desperation wide receiver 3 or 4, something like that, I think it's DeMarcus Robinson, and I'd have a hard time trusting anyone else from this offense. All right, Buffalo. I'll be really interested to see sort of what Baltimore does in the offseason, by the way, too. I think that'll be a really interesting, what their decision process is on a wide receiver one. All right, Buffalo, and you've got Smokey Brown back with one route. He's targeted one time, so baby steps. He plays behind Gabe Davis, who, of course, plays the most routes, which is typical of Gabe Davis. Diggs basically plays 30 of 33 routes, and then Isaiah McKenzie, 24 of 33 routes. McKenzie, 3 for 21. The Jets defense is good. For whatever reason, Buffalo has a hard time against it. So, like, we saw that in the Meadowlands. We see it again today or yesterday this week. I wouldn't draw major conclusions from this other than, like, I think it's a tough matchup for the Bills, right? So, and it's a good defense. Like, they're a good defense. And so I wouldn't draw major conclusions from it. Again, I think basically the major things from this offense stay put. Khalil Shakir, wide receiver 4 in terms of usage, a distant fourth. So if we were hoping for sort of some late season come on from him, not really happening at this point. All right, the wide receiver position for the Carolina Panthers. It is pretty clear. DJ Moore, Terrace Marshall, big tier break. In this game, DJ Moore, 0 catches on 3 targets on 29 routes. I tweeted, make DJ Moore great again. Hey, I wish that he would get more opportunity in a better offense. And I'd be interested to see maybe if he hits a trade market this offseason. And I can't imagine that he's going to love continuing to play this out. So we'll be watching that. Laviska Shenault goes 4 for 31. I mean, he ran 8 routes, so I'm not super interested in him. I know that people will be like, oh, look, here it is. But, I mean, we've been sort of fooled into believing this before. He played behind Shee Smith. So that kind of tells you what you need to know about this. Terrace Marshall, he went 1 for 18. So, again, it's a pretty grim passing game. Chicago on a bye. Cincinnati, again, the T. Higgins one play thing is, let's keep this family friendly, annoying is I think the easiest way to say that. Maybe it's a risk of aggravation. I can't believe that it's aggravated in one play and it wasn't something that you knew in advance was a problem. So it seems like a major miscalculation, and I hope it doesn't set him back too much. So that's really the big takeaway that I can offer you on this. Trent Taylor injured as well. Tyler Boyd injured as well. Trenton Irwin comes on. He catches a touchdown pass, 2 for 58. Trent Taylor, 1 for 34. I think the takeaway from this is going to be it's going to be a lot of Jamar Chase. You're going to hope Hayden Hurst is back, and then it's going to be Boyd and Higgins. I mean, Irwin's kind of running a ton of the work if those other two guys are out. I guess that'd be the big takeaway. But I don't know if I really trust it at this point here going forward. So that's kind of the lay of the land. I think he's more of a desperation starter than anything sort of slotting up in your wide receiver three type range. All right, Donovan Peoples-Jones had 13 targets in this game, 8 for 114, 49 routes, so targeted on, more than a quarter of his routes. Really good work there. And again, then it's 114 on 49 routes, so that's very efficient as well. I thought Watson looked a lot better. I watched some of the game, and I was impressed by how he played. We do see a little bit of an uptick here from David Bell as well, up to 39 routes on 49 dropbacks. Super consolidated passing game because it's really Donovan Peoples-Jones, Amari Cooper, David Bell, David Njoku, right? Really consolidated in those guys, and there's basically 17 other routes on 49 dropbacks, right? So 7 from Harrison Bryant, Michael Woods, and Demetri Felton have 10 total between them. And then you get the running backs, splitting basically 41 routes. Like, it's a very consolidated thing. And what we've seen from this, the shape of this, and maybe something that we learn from this going forward, right, the Mac Hollins, Donovan Peoples-Jones breakout games can really happen because you get these consolidated workloads and, a lot of the target funnel is going to a guy who, frankly, we might not think a ton of, but, he's getting a lot of the route volume and the ball's going to find him, right? So 8 for 114 in this game. Like, that's been kind of a consistent trend that we've seen. I think he's interesting as a wide receiver too. They try to move him down to be a wide receiver three in sort of their pecking order. I mean, I'm sure that's probably a goal, right, to sort of add to this passing game in the offseason. But I don't know how they do it with a ton of pedigree. Like, I don't know how they do it with a ton of money either, because they're kind of strapped on that front here going forward. So it's certainly an interesting watch. And again, he feels like he's going to be the wide receiver two for a bit here with Deshaun Watson. Like, that's a pretty good place to be. By the way, they attempted 5 deep balls, and he was targeted on all 5 of them. So if that tells you what you need to know about his role in this offense, potential big opportunities for Peoples-Jones with Watson at the helm. All right, the receiving position here for Dallas, it's CeeDee Lamb, tier break, Michael Gallup, Noah Brown. Gallup had one of those, like, fall into the end zone drop plays that are consistently a source of bewilderment in terms of defining what a catch is. So that happened. And so it could have been an even bigger day from him. He goes 2 for 40. Noah Brown and him are basically splitting the same amount of routes. They're kind of splitting that wide receiver two type position, which is actually interesting because Brown had been down. James Washington comes in 7 routes in this game. I think, like, they can get something from him in the vertical game. I'd be interested to see sort of how he does here down the stretch. One target, no catches in this game. But CeeDee Lamb, where does he finish out the season? We've talked about him ad nauseum at this point. He is the wide receiver 7 so far in the season at 16.2 points per game. When you actually look at the per game stuff, he is at wide receiver 12. So there's a couple of guys in there that haven't played that many games. So I would say right in that, in that late wide receiver one type role. Pretty good season so far for him. Again, it's always a question of, do you want to pay the price for that? That's a different question. But I think he's kind of checked the box of being a really good wide receiver. I'm not sure he's a great one for a team, and we'll watch to see sort of what they do going, what their decision point is going forward. All right, Denver, Jerry Jeudy has a big game here, 8 for 73 and 3 touchdowns. He basically runs 44 out of 53 dropbacks he runs a route on. So he leads the team in targets. Kendall Hinton, again, just sort of lingering around. He's basically the Mac Hollins, Donovan Peoples-Jones of this offense, right? Just going to run a ton of routes. It's going to be pretty consolidated in terms of where the targets are going, although they spread it out a little bit more to tight ends and some of the backs. So he's more of like a poor man's version of that. But again, 6 targets, 46 routes, lots of opportunity here. We'll see what this offense looks like in the post-Russell Wilson world. Yeah, Judy making himself relevant, I think, is probably the biggest story from this team. All right, Detroit, you get Jameson Williams with the long TD strike, so that's good. He only ran 6 routes, 2 targets in this, so slowly working his way back. There's some crazy on-off splits between Jared Goff with DJ Chark on the field versus off the field. Chark goes 6 for 94 and a touchdown. So Amon-Ra St. Brown, 6 for 68. Like, this team has a lot of ways to beat you. And it's, you know, and heck, it's Josh Reynolds for 5 for 51. They have 4 different receivers who go for more than 41 yards in this game when Goff throws for 330. And they kept him clean, no sacks, no picks, 8.5 yards per attempt. Like, that's a... I mean, this is an interesting offense. And again, if everyone's healthy and, you know, if Amon-Ra St. Brown's healthy, Shark's healthy, and Jameson Williams is sort of getting up into that kind of wide receiver 3 type route usage, even if you don't expect him to get sort of all the way home, and if he gets sort of up into that wide receiver 3 route usage, he could be pretty impactful for this team and, you know, give us a good preview of what's to come, right? So I think this team's definitely exciting down the stretch and they're heading in the right direction. So certainly going to be a fun team to watch, says a guy with Detroit Lions futures. All right, Green Bay off. Houston, one of the better calls of snap reactions in recent times in terms of, like, picking up a trend. Chris Moore, 11 targets on 24 targeted passes. So pretty encouraging there. They do the split quarterback thing with Davis Mills and Jeff Driscoll. Not entirely sure what that's about. I don't trust either guy going forward as a starting quarterback. However, the absence of both Nico Collins and Brandon Cooks made Chris Moore the big target in this game. Philip Dorsett and he both run 27 routes on 29 dropbacks. Amari Rodgers as well, 4 targets on 24 targeted attempts. He went 4 for 57 in a touchdown. So, you know, it'd be interesting with Rodgers to see if, you know, some day 2 pedigree to see if he was able to actually, you know, resurrect his career after being in Green Bay. But Chris Moore with the big game here. I actually went back and was looking at some stuff from him, and I had forgot about this, and I think I remember it happening. At least I remember it being discussed when he was coming out of the draft. But in his in college, so this was back in 2014, he went 3 for 221 in 3 against Ohio State. He went to Cincinnati. He went 3 for 221 in 3. Just an unbelievable performance. Fourth round pick, top 110 pick. He was 107 overall. So, and it's interesting, basically, with a player who has 738 career yards coming into this season, that he's really found a niche at, like, 29 years old. Like, it's a really interesting and weird career arc to see him, you know, have any sort of breakout at this point. I don't expect much of it when Collins and Cooks return, but you could probably do worse than a streaming wide receiver 3 type player going forward if those guys are out. All right, Jacksonville, and the Zay Jones show continues. 8 for 77 and a touchdown. He has 11 targets, according to PFF. 7 for Christian Kirk. Christian Kirk, 5 for 45. I didn't realize this when they did it, but it turns out that Christian Kirk actually signed wide receiver 2 money. I only kid a little bit. So, yeah, both guys interesting going forward. I think Kirk's certainly a more valuable guy. Jones might even be, like, the more dangerous guy in any given week. So Kirk on the season is at wide receiver 14. Zay Jones on the season is actually at wide receiver 36. But some of the Zay Jones usage, like, if you just go back to, let's just pick, like, week 10 here over the past month or so. Zay Jones and Christian Kirk are 17 and 18. Respectively, with the same amount of points, 16.4. So, perfectly in that wide receiver 2 type landscape. You know, they're only a year apart in age as well. So, I'm interested to see sort of what to make of this offense going forward. I think Kirk is certainly probably the better option longer term, but Zay Jones right now in his usage is the hot player for sure. All right, Kansas City, Juju Smith-Schuster back to the wide receiver one role. That's reassuring after, you know, a little bit of some slow usage here in prior weeks. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, the number two role in terms of routes at 33. He actually played less snaps than Justin Watson at 31, and then Sky Moore all the way down to 11. So Sky Moore really a tough start to the season playing behind Watson and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Playing behind Valdes-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster wouldn't be that big of a deal. Playing behind Justin Watson, certainly an indictment, I think, of Sky Moore's development. So I'd probably recycle for a second if I could, right? If I could get back the pick that I spent on him, I'd probably do so and just churn it out would be how I would look at that. The Chargers, listen, they're back. And this is a dangerous team because they've got a dangerous quarterback. And that's kind of my take on this. 52 routes for Keenan Allen on 56 dropbacks, 13 targets, so targeted on a quarter of his routes, 12 for 92. There was a Herbert throw in this game that when you actually watched the replay and you actually watched what Herbert did, it was Keenan Allen on and out, and he was covered basically, and Herbert like stared him down the entire way and threw an absolute hose of a dime. I mean, it was, I don't know how he fitted in where he fitted in. He was basically covered, but almost pre-decided. He did almost what you don't want quarterbacks to do, which is kind of pre-decide you're going to throw the ball there. He's like, this ball is going to Keenan Allen, and it was successful. So 12 for 92, again, just gobbling up PPR points there. You get Mike Williams back, 6 for 116. I think the big thing you're looking for is what happens after that, right? Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. Mike Williams actually played the wide receiver three role in terms of routes. He played the number three route usage role. Palmer was actually 45 routes on 56 dropbacks. DeAndre Carter essentially phased out down to 9. So the top three, Keenan Allen, Palmer, and Mike Williams. I would expect Mike Williams' role to grow as well now that he's healthy. 6 for 116 and a touchdown. Made that crazy comeback, kind of gravity-defying catch, which was super fun to watch. And listen, when this team's rolling, when this team has everyone there, they can roll. And you kind of saw it in this game. I thought they were clearly the better team. And and honestly, when everyone's there, like they've got some dangerous pieces to this offense. I wish they had a little bit more vertical aspect, but that's kind of what Mike Williams is going to offer you. Not necessarily the deep. A deep speed element, but he's going to kind of be your deep, your deep throw kind of guy there. Vegas, it's Davante Adams, 7 targets, 19 attempts. He only ran 60 plays in that game, which is interesting. Mac Hollins ran 4 targets as well, and then it's Keelan Cole down at 16 routes. So again, that's a very similar shape there. There's not a ton of mystery in their passing game. The Rams, for their part. Ben Skowronek is basically playing every snap. Van Jefferson ran every route. Ben Skowronek blocked on, I think, 4 of them, it looks like, but had 8 targets. He actually had a really solid game, 7 for 89. Van Jefferson went 2 for 44 and a touchdown, that game winner. I'm interested to see Skowronek and, for that matter, Van Jefferson potentially be every down players and see kind of what they can show in that. If this offense has other things to offer outside of just Cooper Kupp, we will get the opportunity to see that. One other thing we got a chance to see is Tutu Atwell, 26 routes on 41 dropbacks. So again, that's not a great amount, but you get 9 targets out of that. That's a pretty dominant share there. It goes 5 for 50. So let's see what happens with a full couple of weeks of Baker Mayfield able to prepare. That's, I think, the big thing looking forward. All right, Tyreek Hill on one leg had 10 targets on 25 routes. That was the takeaway from Miami. Jalen Waddle, 2 for 31. The Chargers really impressive defensive scheme, and Tua was bad in this game. I think long-term, Hill's, you're just worried about really his ankle. It would be the only thing He played through it, but we're going to watch that. You know, and they're on a short week this week, so you're going to have to watch that heading into you'll get some practice reports on Tuesday, I believe, for that game where you usually get it on Wednesday. So I don't know if there's a real easy way to cash in on him being out. I mean, Trent Sherfield ran 22 routes, I guess. You know, I guess that would be an option, but I don't really love playing that option in Buffalo in what could be a snow game, you know, in the cold. I don't necessarily know if I love that that in that matchup. All right, Minnesota. I think I mentioned Justin Jefferson before, 223. Cousins threw for 425, and Justin Jefferson had 223. Just incredible. 11 receptions on 15 targets. He was targeted 15 times on 43 routes, just a dominant work share. 8 targets for Thielen, 41 routes. He goes 7 for 65 and a touchdown, so a 20-point PPR game. You'll take it. And that's kind of what he is in this offense, right? Highly concentrated offense into basically, into really five guys. It's Thielen, Jefferson, Osborne, Hockenson, and then Dalvin Cook. Outside of those guys, there was a total of 16 routes run, right? On 45 dropbacks, a total of 16 routes run between Madison, Johnny Munt, and Jalen Reagor. So it's an extreme concentration in those top guys, and you see these games as a result. New England Monday Night Football, the Saints on a bye. I picked up a little bit of Rashad Shaheed, I think is how his name is pronounced, just to get a look-see here down the stretch. So if he's available, that's a name that I've added. Richie James heads back into being basically the wide receiver one usage type in this game. He didn't really play that much last week, and it was somewhat surprising because we'd almost essentially seen like 100% participation between James and the Wandale Robinson role. Like they shared essentially the same role in the offense. And if you added them up in any game they were active, it was basically 100%. You know, and a lot of that was Wandale Robinson by himself, or when Wandale Robinson was out, it was Richie James by himself. But last week, he didn't really see that uptick with Wandale Robinson out. He does in this game. He goes 7 for 61 and a touchdown. Feel a little bit more confident starting him and streaming him if you need a wide receiver 3. Darius Slayton reduction in usage, 2 for 42 in this game. So a disappointment there based on some of his play that had been going on in prior weeks. So we'll watch that. I don't think, you know, Isaiah Hodges is playing a bunch, but I don't know if I really trust it. 4 for 38 and a touchdown. 38 routes on 43 dropbacks. He had 6 targets. He's more of a guy that I'm interested in watching from afar than I am sort of adding at this point. The Jets, pretty clear pecking order here. Corey Davis gets hurt, so what we see is Garrett Wilson be the one. He plays every play, basically. Elijah Moore steps into the number 2 role and actually leads them in targets with 9. He goes 6 for 60 on 9 PFF targets. ESPN has him graded for 10, so it's probably a throwaway or something in there. Denzel Mims runs 35 routes on 51 dropbacks. That's 3 for 35 in this game. Don't really love anyone outside of Garrett Wilson just because I can't really trust it at this point is kind of my takeaway from this offense. And if Elijah Moore gets some sustained play, I'm more interested, but I don't love betting on him right now down the stretch. All right, Philly, A.J. Brown goes over 1,000 yards. I heard it was the last time that had happened was 2014 for Philly, so impressive there. Devonta Smith, 5 for 64 as well in this game. They each have touchdowns. So they're Quez Watkins is basically like playing two-thirds of the snaps, two-thirds of the routes essentially. Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown basically every down guys at this point. And it's a really good 1-2 tandem. The one aspect of this offense that I'll be interested to see how it changes is with Goddard back. You know, if that cuts into some of the Devonta Smith usage and some of his the percentage of his routes he gets targeted on, for example. Like, yeah, he's targeted on 8 of his 35 routes in this game. I'll be interested to – like, that's something I'm going to monitor, right? Again, the tight end position saw 6 targets this week on 35 routes. So it wouldn't cut in a ton, I wouldn't think, but – yeah, the difference on a 1 or 2 targets a game is not nothing there. So that's the one thing I'm watching with this wide receiver core. But I think Devonta Smith, one of the better wide receiver twos out there. All right, Pittsburgh, Deontay Johnson, 8 targets. He's, again, just a target monster, 6 for 82 in this game. George Pickens goes 3 for 78 on he basically capitalizes on his three targets. So low percentage of his routes he's actually targeted on, but cashes them all the way in, north of 2 yards per route run. A lot of question here in terms of their quarterback situation, so we'll be watching that. But both players, I think Pickens is more highly thought of in the market. Deontay Johnson's going to be an offseason buy. He'll be a startup target for me as well. All right, San Francisco, it's Debo banged up. Brandon Ayuk's going to get all the opportunity as a lead wide receiver. Ray McLeod, Juwan Jenkins splitting some time there. Don't feel anything confident there. Three routes run for Danny Gray. He goes 1 for 10. Not super worried about it. Maybe this opens up some opportunity for George Kittle in this offense, who actually led them in targets this week. But not super stoked about the Debo injury, and I'm not really convinced that anyone sort of steps into that role and makes himself fantasy viable either with Brock Purdy in there. All right, Seattle, and I got to say, Tyler Lockett moves in like unnatural ways. He had a catch in this game where he had like two catches in this game where I don't know how he got his feet. It was almost like he died in midair. Just an incredible artist with his body control. Just really fun to watch. Really good player. He goes 5 for 60 and a touchdown in this game. Metcalf goes 5 for 71 and a touchdown. When you look at the two of them, actually Metcalf over the last, since week 10, he is wide receiver 8 and Tyler Lockett is wide receiver 11. That's a really surprise coming into the season. Both guys, I don't think anyone thought that highly of them. And Tyler Lockett is wide receiver 8 on the season. DK Metcalf is wide receiver 12. So if you had Geno Smith at like plus 3 million to be the quarterback that had the top, that had two top 12 wide receiver finishes this year, you win. It's actually him and Tua at present. So pretty remarkable accomplishment there. That's where those guys sit right now, both in the top 12 of the position. And by the way, it's always worth noting, Tyler Lockett again ahead of DK Metcalf. It's so funny that, again, I like DK Metcalf's game. I think he's grown, but it's so funny that Tyler Lockett continues to be undervalued. All right, Tampa. There's some like visible frustration with Mike Evans and Tom Brady in this game. Evans ran a route actually in the end zone where I was like, what is going on with this throw? And it was, I thought Brady, when he's frustrated, can kind of blame everybody else. And there was a bit of that going on, but like there's a throw to Evans where I'm like, I don't know what the hell that throw is. And it was like he just missed. So I don't know if there's some communication stuff going on. I don't know. I do think the interesting thing is that we've seen an uptick in Julio's usage. So Julio Jones, 39 routes, 8 targets actually in this game. He goes 5 for 38. That's not really like Julio type production, but the usage up. We'll see here going forward. I still can't get over the fact that Tom Brady's offense is this bad. I've seen him be, non-human enough before that I just can't believe that this is going to be the case with him. So we'll be watching. But yeah, I'm really surprised by his performance this year. It's really, 4.6 yards per attempt in this game. So I hope that there's bigger opportunities here down the stretch for Evans and Julio and Godwin. But I don't feel great about it. I really don't. And it's an incredibly stark and abrupt fall off for this offense. Tennessee, Treylon Burks was out. It's Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Again, this is kind of one of the problems with a guy like Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. 8 targets, 3 catches, 23 yards, and a touchdown. So, like, all right, you got double-digit fantasy points. But, that's a wide receiver 1 on his team in terms of usage and volume. But who did it help? Right. And ultimately you can't trust him right week to week. So that's kind of the big takeaway that I have from that. Robert Woods, 5 for 49, kind of doing Robert Woods type things. Don't trust really anyone outside of Treylon Burks in this offensive present. And then Washington's on a bye. So that'll pretty much do it for this show here. I've got running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends out. I'll have quarterbacks out probably tomorrow is what I'm going to do. I like to be able to look at some of the full week PFF data before I do that show. So we'll have that for you as well. And your waiver show, your trade show, all the like there as we get into your fantasy playoffs. So that'll do it for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.